This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry on this third Sunday in Advent. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We thank you for joining us today and invite you to join us for worship every Sunday on this station.
In this Christmas season, if somebody should ask you, why do you think that Jesus Christ came to this world? How would you answer? Would you have an answer right away? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we enter into the days of preparing for Christmas, we pray that we may once again see how much you have loved us, that you have loved us so much that you have given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Bathe us, O God, in that great truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh.
Friends in Christ, are you ever disappointed with Jesus? His cousin, John the Baptist, was. If it be true that we can become disappointed with our Lord, it is because we get out of focus in knowing why he came to earth. This is a lesson that John the Baptist had to learn. And he was one who was very, very close to the Savior. He probably did not have a crystal clear idea why Jesus had come to live among us. And yet he was a great man. It was our Lord himself who said, "Among those born of woman, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist." It's this kind of confusion that John the Baptist had in his mind regarding Jesus, and that could linger in our minds too, that I would like to pursue in my sermon today. You will recall that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, were cousins. Both had been told by the angel Gabriel that they had been called by God to have very special places in the kingdom of God. Mary was to be the mother of Jesus, the Savior of the world. Elizabeth was to be the mother of John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of our Lord. When these women, Mary and Elizabeth, got this message, they did not understand. Mary said, "How can I give birth to a son? I know no man. I have had no relationships with Joseph, my fiancé." And Elizabeth could have said, and did say, "I am far too old to have a son." And yet, Gabriel went on to say, "This is the Lord's will." And so after much discussion, questions and answers, Mary said it well, "May it be to me as you have said." And so the days went by. John the Baptist was born. Jesus was born. John the Baptist lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. And then he began his message. It was a message of repentance, for the kingdom of God is near. He was never soft on telling people about sin, and he could see the wretchedness of the group of people to whom he was talking, and he would right out say to them, "You generation of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" No, he didn't soften the preaching at all. He went on and baptized them unto repentance, and then baptized them in the River Jordan. But also when he was talking with a person on an individual basis, he could be very, very direct. And one day he said to Herod, "Herod, your lifestyle is sin." Herod was a tetrarch. He said, you have stolen your brother Philip's wife, and that is wrong." This angered Herod, as it did his wife. And finally, John the Baptist was put into prison. There he sat. About this time, our Lord Jesus Christ is beginning his ministry. And it is at that time that John the Baptist gave the idea that he was somewhat disappointed with what Jesus was doing. He must have meant that when Jesus began to preach, it would be a continuation of what he had preached, only much richer, much fuller, much more dynamic, much more effective. And yet, it was quite different. Here was a man who was going around and healing the sick, talking to those who had fallen into sin, granting them the forgiveness of their sins and making their life new again, went in and ate with scribes and Pharisees, which no Jew could do under these conditions. What was this ministry of Jesus all about? Had he set the law aside? Never. Our Lord Jesus Christ never took sin lightly. If you're acquainted with the Sermon on the Mount, you remember when he said, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Take for an example of the woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery. When they brought her to Jesus, did he gloss over her sin? Did he say, well, you have to understand her background and so forth and so on? Not at all. Rather, he said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. No stones were cast. They went away. But what did Jesus do? When he looked up, he said, where are they? Have they all gone and cast not a stone? And the lady said, that's right. He says, neither do I cast a stone. Neither do I condemn you. Your sin is forgiven. Now go and sin no more. You see what had happened. He had preached the law to her in his own way. He had let her know that her lifestyle was sin, was wrong. But he also wanted her to know that that sin could be forgiven and her life could be turned around. It definitely could be changed. And that is what the message of Jesus Christ was that confused John the Baptist to some extent. So back to the text for today. What do you see going on in the life of John the Baptist? He had not understood the need of the gospel after the law had been preached. Now, did he understand that the gospel had the power to change a person? The law could only condemn. The law could only destroy. The law could only frustrate, so people would say, well, I can't help it. Where do I go from here? But Jesus turned around and said, your sin is forgiven. That was his mission. And that is the extra part of his whole ministry that John did not have in his. Jesus Christ has that message which we really need, friend, to hear that we are sinners, to be sure, not to go light on that, but to let the world know that that sin in Christ Jesus can be taken away. That's why Jesus Christ came. He will save his people from their sins. On October 12th of this year, my wife and I were sitting watching the Texas Rangers defeat the New York Yankees to win the American League Championship and a place in the World Series. During the course of this great ball game, the name of Josh Hamilton kept being mentioned. Now, I did not know of Josh Hamilton. I'm a Cubs fan. I've never been a fan of the Texas Rangers, nor the New York Yankees. When I was a boy living in New England, I was a Red Sox fan. When I was a young man raising children, I was a Twins fan. But now that my wife and I have become older and settled down, we go along with the Cubs. Well, enough of that. We had never heard of Josh Hamilton. But that night he really began to get the eye of all people. And he finally was chosen to be the most valuable player in the entire American League, a very cherished award. Every time a person said something about Josh Hamilton, they not only said that he was a great ball player, but how he had overcome a very rough past. I got interested in that, and so I went to the internet when the ball game was over to learn more about this man. And this is what I learned. In one of the first articles that I read there, it was entitled, From Drug Addiction to Sober Superstar. And then I learned that this man had been an alcoholic and also a drug addict. He was helpless. He had to leave baseball. Probably his life was over with. But then I have not been able to find out yet, and I hope one day to read his book that I may get the full story. Somebody must have reached Josh Hamilton with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ had changed Josh Hamilton's life. He says, when he was receiving the trophy, I give my thanks to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is making me a new person in him. He went on to tell as the ball game continued that night, and he realized what could be happening, I asked myself, as tears came continually to my eyes, could this be the night when it all would happen? Could this be the night when I would receive this great award? Then if so, all credit, all thanks goes to God Almighty, for he was always there with me when I needed him. Josh Hamilton, I learned from the internet, had a relapse in 2009. But God was right there to pick him up, to forgive him, to encourage him, and to send him on his way again. You see, John the Baptist would have brought him about so far, and then no further. He could tell him that you're an addict, and if you don't quit, life is going to be bad for you. On the other hand, Jesus Christ could come and say, but Josh, you got a life ahead of you, and I will forgive you, and I will make you a new person. And he turned his life over to Jesus. Why did Jesus Christ come? The angel said to save his people from their sins. Josh Hamilton would have said, to turn my life around and make me one of his followers. Now the question is, how do you answer that question? Why did Jesus Christ come? The chapter is blank for you and me, but our eternal destiny and the abundant life here on this earth is dependent on what we see and know in Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, give us the grace to have our own answer as to why Jesus Christ came. Grant, O God, that the Holy Spirit may so empower us that as we look into the manger, we may there see the Christ and know that He is the one who can turn our life around. He is the one who can forgive us our sins. He is the one who can make life worth living. Yes, we thank You for what You did for Josh Hamilton and the witness he has been showing in the athletic world. God, may we have that same experience, though not known by many, really telling a story wherever we have an opportunity of the Savior. In His name we pray, amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will fill you with joy in the amazing gift we have in Christ Jesus. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. Memorial gifts to Christian Crusaders can be given to commemorate a very special person on their birthday, anniversary, or other occasion. We thank those who have honored the memory of someone special with a gift to Christian Crusaders, allowing us to continue bringing the gospel message to thousands of listeners each week. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or you can call our office to find out more at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Christian Crusaders publishes both a weekly email newsletter and a quarterly print newsletter to bring new information to our listeners. The weekly e-newsletter contains a preview of the upcoming program, while the print newsletter called The Crusader contains a special article by Reverend Larson and thoughts on faith and life from other members of our staff. Please call our office to join our mailing list. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.